Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 13th. Well, the Fed raised interest rates today as expected, and U.S. Two-year yields got up to 2.6% briefly and closed a little bit off the high. The 10-year got up to about 3% and also closed off the high. At 2.6%, the two-year is now pricing in two interest rate hikes before at the end of 24 months, but the Fed today said that they're going to raise rates twice more this year, so that would suggest that the two-year has got some more work to do if it's going to price in more than two interest rate hikes over the course of the next 24 months. Well, the fact that bond markets did not see the yield push on and hold the move to new highs on the two-year suggests that there's still some skepticism among bond investors that the Fed is in fact going to be able to raise rates twice this year. That's despite the fact that Jerome Powell was saying that in no uncertain terms that the economy is doing rather well in the USA. Well, when we look at the outlook for some of the stock markets, the S&P 500 didn't quite hold all of its advance in here today, but the reality is that we have not had a downward dynamic, nothing compared to the kinds of downside keys that we had in February and March. This continues to look like a pause rather than a peak. The Russell 2000, which was in mildly negative territory, has continued to extend its advance and break out above the 1600 point level. So it does have room in which to consolidate and still to hold the breakout. But I think at the same time there's also something of a rotation going on that's still ongoing, and that we had a partial rotation in February, and we're getting a refocusing back onto some of the technology leaders. For example, it was the luxury goods did spectacularly well in the period right after the pullback in January, but when we look at Hermès, for example, it got right up to 600 euro and now it is in a process of mean reversion. That was a very clear acceleration of the trend, which had until that time been really quite consistent. So I think that that's a rather important characteristic, that we've had the acceleration of a previously consistent advance and now we're getting an inconsistency. Well, so far, the inconsistency was the acceleration. So far, the reaction has not yet been as acute as we might have anticipated with the size of the acceleration that was outstanding. But when we look at it, for example, on a point and figure chart, we can see that this reaction is now 7 units of scale, whereas everything else, we have to go all the way back to 2015 before we get a reaction of the same size. So this is a loss of uptrend consistency for Hermès. But at the same time, if we look at the technology sector, then Netflix is also now accelerating higher. It had a reasonably brief consolidation, and now it was up an additional $17 in here today. That's really quite an incredible advance, considering that the trend mean is still in the region of 270. So it's $110 overextended relative to the trend mean. Having overtaken the size of Disney, people are now starting to think that it is going to overtake other companies. But the estimated PE is at 133, and the historic PE is at 241. So that's not far off a double in expected earnings. And what that obviously tells us is that there is a great deal of enthusiasm surrounding some of these shares. Tesla, which has been resurgent over the last week, has come right back up to the $360 area. Now, that represents the region of the progression of lower rally highs. This is where big questions start to get asked about just how sustainable is this rebound. So the price has paused a little over the last couple of days. But one point that was made to me back when it was trading below 300 was that anyone who wanted to open a short position was having difficulty doing so, because there simply wasn't any stock to borrow. So we've had a very impressive short covering rally over the course of the last couple of weeks, but Now the big questions are asked whether it is going to be able to push through and onto the upside. And when we talk about instruments that need to push through and onto the upside, well, silver has closed above $17 in here today. Well, the last time it did that back in April, it failed to sustain the upward break and it went straight back down and tested the lower side of the range. So we know what can happen if we do get failed upside breaks. And it really does need now to sustain that move above $17 to confirm a return to demand dominance. Well, when we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that there has been this progression of lower rally highs, evident really since the middle of 2016. The most recent of those lower rally highs was that failed upside break back earlier this year. So, in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, it isn't simply that it has to hold the $17 level, but rather it has to take out the 1750 area, which is where the last failed rally had encountered resistance. Gold prices are also they continue to pause around this $1,300 area. When we look at just how inert the price has been, that we have had these moves all within approximately $10 over the course of the last 10 trading sessions. Moves above $1,300 have not been sustained. There are some really quite clear tails on the candles. And what that is telling us is that there is a period of indecision here. There are obviously those of us who are thinking that the most likely trajectory for trading is probably upwards, but there isn't a great deal of evidence to support that just yet. But those are the people that are buying, whereas there are probably also people thinking that it's about time that gold should be rolling over with higher interest rates coming through from the Federal Reserve. But I don't think that it's going to escape the attention of investors that the Fed raised rates today and precious metals are pretty firm. And then you also have the fact that the dollar was initially quite firm, but then it gave up some of its advance. So the reality here is that investors are starting to think about if the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, is that going to basically export US monetary policy to the rest of the world? The ECB is going to be talking over the course of the next few days about exactly what they're going to do with their quantitative easing program. Well, the chances are that they are going to follow through and exit their quantitative easing in September. That's what they've said they wanted to do, and that the chances are that that is what they're going to do until they have evidence that they're going to have to adopt easy monetary policy once more. The euro is coming back up towards this 118 level. And it continues to look like it is going to unwind this oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But it needs to do more than that. It needs to sustain a move back above the trend mean to confirm that we're back in a period of demand dominance for the euro. The euro was also stronger against the pound in here today. And the fact that the UK government has been weakened by rebels and also because there doesn't seem to be a clear I think conclusion as to what concessions were made to the rebels within the Tory party, that the pound is a little bit weaker in here again against the euro and pulling back from the 114 level. And considering that this has been a market which has been confined to a narrow range for much of the last 9 months now, when it eventually does break on the whether on the upside or the downside, it is likely to be in a dynamic manner. Then, when we look at the banking sector in Europe, it's rather heavily weighted by Italian and Spanish banks. And then you have this outstanding question about what exactly is going to happen with Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank. I think it is worth considering that Deutsche and Commerz are the only two listed banks in Germany right now. Just about everything else has been privatized or taken over by the government. Well, I think it's not privatized. It's exactly the opposite of privatized, isn't it? That they have been taken into public hands and they no longer have to tell us how well or badly their businesses are doing. Well, I think that that's perhaps one of the more likely scenarios for some of the German lenders. They don't particularly seem to want to talk about it, but Deutsche Bank is back below 10 euro, and it has been trending lower all year, and it is beginning to take Commerzbank with it. Perhaps the if the Germans really want to have a stronger banking sector, the answer, which is probably going to be unpopular, would be to nationalize both of them, and then start to relist some of the, or to create a bad bank, take out the strip out the off-book assets, and then relist them. But there doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite for that just yet in Germany, considering that they have been lording it over much of the south of Europe for much of the last decade. And to admit that the domestic banking sector is in those kinds of dire straits would be a really quite considerable knock for Germany. Then, of course, today you had the fact that Volkswagen have accepted a billion euro fine. Well, the share is now back to test the progression of higher reaction lows and the region of the trend mean. This is about where, if it's going to find support, it would really want to be getting about it. Then there has also been a recall of diesel vehicles for Daimler, and the share is back testing the 60 euro level and is a little oversold in the short term. I tend to think that these are on the side of the less onerous potential outcomes from the diesel scandal that the German automotive sector set itself up for. So considering that, I think when we do have these short-term oversold conditions, that perhaps this is back in an area where investors are probably going to start thinking that these kinds of shares potentially represent value once more. In the oil sector, it's also, we've got a short-term oversold condition that's looking to be increasingly unwound in West Texas Intermediate. I've been talking over the last couple of broadcasts about a mean reversion pullback on Brent crude, but perhaps I was looking at the wrong one, that it's West Texas Intermediate where we've already had a significant pullback, really rather similar to the pullback we saw in February, and it has unwound most of its overextension relative to the trend mean, and we're starting to see some evidence of firming. Then when we look at Brent, Brent crude has firmed from the $75 area. So far, this reaction has been limited to approximately $6. And so far, that's still reasonably consistent. It has found support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range that we saw back for the latter half of April and the first half of May. And this continues to represent a reasonably bullish environment. One thing that, if we're thinking about things to worry about, well, I think we have to at least start to think about a high yield. If the Federal Reserve does in fact continue to raise interest rates, and the high yield bond ETF really does look like a type 2 top with right hand extension, then the most likely scenario is that the price encounters resistance in the region of the trend mean and then declines. Then the other way of potentially thinking about the outlook that we have is that the stock markets remain generally firm. But if the risk is in the junk bond markets, then what we're also seeing is this uptick in default rates in China. And when we look at the Chinese mainland banking sector, then it continues to trend lower. And this isn't a mistake. This is the large cap banks. This is supposed to be the banks that do not have a great deal of exposure to the shadow banking sector. The vast majority of responsibility for inflating the shadow banking sector lies with the unlisted regional banks. And but what we're certainly seeing is that the tightening process for that has been instituted for that particular sector is infecting the larger cap banks. Well, when we look at the H share index in Hong Kong, it's heavily weighted by banks. China Construction Bank, ICBC, and Bank of China together represent, not far off 30% of the index. If you start adding in some of the insurance companies, then you're getting up to a really quite significant weighting for the financial sector. And this index does not look especially healthy. It really was looking better a couple of days ago when it was rallying back up to 12,500, and now it's back testing the 12,000 level. This is approximating the region of the trend mean. This kind of range is going to eventually give way to a breakout, and when that breakout comes, it's going to be dynamic. And considering that the 14,000 level was an area of resistance and it accelerated to get up there, well, it did pull back awfully quickly, and so far the 12,000 level has held. If we see a move below the trend mean sustained beyond a few days, then we would have to conclude that the uptrend is over, that the uptrend has at least been broken, that this is not a short-term peak but a medium-term peak, and that does raise the potential that we're going to see a much wider band for trading, and that this range so far over the course of the last 9 years has been 8,000 to 14,000, and that would suggest that we're at the upper side of the range right now. The Shanghai Property Index, which had been performing even better than the banks, also continues to trend lower. It's been rallying over the last couple of weeks, but it is coming back up towards the lower side, or the progression of lower rally highs, and it's really a sustained move above 7,000, but we're required to question the downward bias here as well. Well, against all of that background, the renminbi was reasonably firm in here today, but it's been pretty inert for June so far. And so far, what we've seen is that the dollar has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. If the dollar's rally is going to persist, then it would need to sustain a move back above the trend mean. The Chinese don't want to have the weakest currency in the world, but neither do they want to have the strongest. What they would much prefer is if the renminbi was completely off the front or the back page. And what that suggests is that there will probably be some efforts to support the currency, but what's happening in the financial sector is meaningful. What the banks are generally lead indicators because they're liquidity providers. And in a bull market thrives on liquidity provision. But we do not have a bull market today in the A shares. So that's, I think, a rather important characteristic, that all of the growth is coming from the technology sector. Foxconn IPO'd its networking equipment company yesterday, and it was up the limit of 44%. And they are talking about introducing CDRs, Chinese Depository Receipts. Well, considering the fact that mainland investors have had no opportunity to buy Alibaba, if Alibaba is the first company to release a Chinese depository receipt, then it is likely to gain additional interest, and it has broken on the upside over the course of the last couple of weeks. So that does look like an encouraging sign from the perspective of anyone who wanted to play that particular development. But if the Chinese market is under pressure, then it is particularly Australia that is likely to come under pressure as a result. And the ASX is right in the region of the 6,000 level. If we look at that on a much longer term basis, the peak back in 2007 was shy of 7,000. And there has been a progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2016. Well, those lows, that progression needs to continue to hold if we're to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But then I think it's also worth keeping an eye on the Aussie dollar. It was reasonably volatile in here today, but closed out the day pretty much unchanged. but it did move to a new low, and it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last 2 weeks. Downside follow-through tomorrow, and a break to new lows would confirm that we're in a more difficult environment generally. That may help to flatter the stock market, but it would be representative of some, I think, trouble ahead for the Australian economy, most particularly if China continues to deteriorate. So I think that on the one hand, the generally speaking, stock markets are still reasonably steady. The precious metal markets do look like they're going to break out. And if we're going to think about where risks are outstanding, then I don't think that it is in the US economy that we need to be particularly concerned right now, despite the fact that you're going to have deficits that are probably going to be problems at some point later in the next decade. The clear issue right now is China's underperformance. And then you have the knock-on effect that China's underperformance and rising US interest rates are having on other markets. Well, the Nifty index in India moved to a new recovery closing high over for at least the last 4 months in here today. And they have been trying to defend the 69 area. So the rupee continues to weaken over the course of the last four sessions, but it is not doing so in a dynamic manner. And that 69 area has been an area of support for at least the last 5 years. So I think there is the potential that the Indians will continue to support this level. And in addition to looking at the stock market, I think it is also worth keeping an eye on the bond markets. Yields are up to 8%. And if they do in fact support the currency around the 68 to 69 rupee level, then that's one of the higher interest rates you're going to find anywhere in the globe right now. So that is a potential, I think, well, if we see yields bouncing and coming back down towards 7.5%, well, that would be a clear sign that foreign investors are coming back into the Indian market. And Reliance Industries has been among the best performers on the Indian market, and it is now pushing on to new closing highs in here today. It's above the 1,000 rupee level, and it has been consolidating below that area now for more than 6 months already. So this is, I think, rather meaningful, not least because it's a really quite a large cap share, but it's also representative of the digital revolution that's going on in India, and that's the real story over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.